Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Go Times Red FM. Dan Case here with you for the next hour, bringing you all the day's sporting action from around the Rebel County and further afield. Cork City Hammer Wexford 6-0 in Turner's Cross last night, lifting the First Division title afterwards, albeit the title that was wrapped up weeks, if not months earlier. Huge task in the Premier Division awaits. To talk to me about the season ahead this year and next, I spoke to our very own Rory O'Hagan. Well, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Rory O'Hagan, the man no stranger to the show, of course. Rory, how are you getting on anyway, first of all?
I'm good, brought two Watergrass Hill boys on Red FM at the same time the world might implode.
I think it might combust indeed. Turner's Cross last night, can you describe the scenes? I mean, we were just kind of speaking there a bit off air about it's hard to get up for the First Division title just so soon after winning the last one than to get relegated.
And I was like 2 years ago that we were celebrating the First Division title, but like, I suppose you have to celebrate it because I mean, like, it's like the competition in which you're competing, and you've won it, and you've won it in style, and you've won it at a canter, so it deserves to be celebrated. And the work that Tim Cansey has done with this team, and the work that Dermot Usher has done with this team over the past 12 months deserves to be celebrated. Last night was a perfect exclamation point on what was an excellent season for Cork City. They were full time team. You expect them to go up at the first time of asking. They did that. It's job done. It's mission accomplished. It's now on to next year and the planning that brings. But we just look back at last night. First off, look, 6 goals. Cathal O'Sullivan scoring 2 great goals. Shawnee Maguire and Rory Keating, who are the best strike force in the entire country in either division, getting on the target. Keating scoring after 2 minutes 44 seconds. They could have had more between them. There's a lovely partnership developing between Rory and Shawnee, and it's great to see. The more they play together, the more they're going to get used to each other, the more dangerous they're going to be. And what encouraged me most last night was the way they brought Cathal O'Sullivan into the game, and the three of them seem to have a really nice little understanding. There's a lovely little triangle between them. Cathal O'Sullivan drifting in off the right hand side, always a menace, and that looked really, really good indeed. Greg Bulger, just an absolute Rolls Royce for player last night in midfield, ran the show for the entire length of the time he was on, and was just absolutely brilliant, albeit against the Wexford side, who made 9 changes from last week's win against Finn Harps and have the playoffs in mind. But look, 6 goals, plenty of celebrations afterwards. It deserves to be celebrated, and it's now on to the Premier Division and what comes there.
Do you reckon we actually do have the best strike partnership coming into the Premier Division now next season? Well, we won't know what it is, I guess, until the start of it, but do you think over the 2 divisions we had this year that we ended up ultimately with the strongest ones?
Yeah, Shawnee Maguire ended up 1 goal off being Cork City's top scorer after playing 1/3 of the games. Rory Keating is an absolute phenomenon. We saw what he did in the Premier Division last year for Cork City in a poor Cork City team. So the fact that him and Shawnee are going to be there in the Premier Division, they'll have a pre-season between them, and they are going to hit the ground running. And I have no doubt they are going to score plenty of goals in the next season. A couple of people asked me, Dan, last night, what do you think is going to be a good season for next season? I instinctively just said 8th. If you finish 8th, it's good. It's progression. You've consolidated your place in the Premier Division, and you build on that. But then a couple of people said to me, look, we now have Rory and Shawnee, surely our expectations go up a little bit. Rory thought about it, and I was like, yeah, they actually do, because as I said, and I don't think I'm inaccurate saying this, Dan, am I, that they are the best strike force in the country, am I right?
Maybe Rovers, like Towler or Gaffney, or, you know, they'd have an argument there, but I think, yeah, apart from City, yeah, you probably fancy our two lads.
Yeah, I think it's just bias from us as well, because like, we're obviously Cork City fans and we watch them every week, and we're obviously going to say that they're the best strike force in the country. But then I suppose the expectation level does rise up. You think to yourself, right, could you get in the mix here for a European spot? Could you get in the mix here and go on a nice little cup run and get to the Aviva Stadium next season? It'd be very, very nice. And there's a lot of work that's going to have to be done off the field. There's going to be a lot of players leaving the club, and there's going to be a lot of players arriving. That's the nature of professional football. It happens every club at every season. I'd imagine a number of the players we saw last night will be the last time we've seen them in Cork City jerseys, and it'll be interesting to see what Tim Clancy will bring in for next season. Like, he's been backed by Dermot Usher. Usher's brought in Shawnee Maguire, and he's brought in Rory Keating. I mean, like, any club in the Premier Division would have snapped either of those players up, I feel. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see who comes in. They're going to have to strengthen every area of the pitch. They're going to have to bring in new defenders, new midfielders, new forward, new goalkeeper. Although Brad Wade had a fantastic season this season in the first division, but he'll need competition for next year. And a lot of those players that we saw last night are going to move on. So it's going to be a fascinating off-season. But I've no doubt, it just seems to me, Dan, and I'm not sure if it seems this way to you, but it just seems to be going in the right way, both on and off the pitch. I know last year was terribly rocky. It was Jim Rush's first year in charge, and he was just getting to grips, I suppose, with being a football club owner. But he seems to have steadied the ship massively. The club seems to be going in the right direction off the field. And then on the field, like, there was a lot of speculation mid-season around Tim Clancy and his future and whether or not he was going to leave. And when he came out and signed a new contract, it was like, right, this is the stability that the club has been lacking over the last number of years. And it just seems to me like things are starting to click a little, that I'm not going to get overexcited, I'm not going to get too cocky about next season. You could easily be involved in a relegation battle. Mm-hmm. But it just seems to me that things are looking good for City at the moment. I know we're kind of on a bit of a high last night after getting a trophy and the celebrations that come with that, and winning 6-0 in your final game as well, which helps really ignore that 4-1 defeat to Athlone last week. That was just a blip.
Very nearly. If it wasn't for Athlone Town, we'd have the perfect season, albeit in the first region.
Yeah, I know, but look, that's the major caveat, then, isn't it? It's just the first division. It's a division I never want to see Cork City playing ever again. I said that 2 years
ago.
Never
be here.
I've said it again this season. I don't ever want to see them play in the first division for as long as I live. It's no disrespect to any of the clubs, but it is hard to get up for matches against your Athlone Towns and your Wexfords and your Longford Towns. You want to be in the Premier Division. You want to be playing Shelburne, Shamrock Rovers, and Bohemians at Turner's Cross every second week. And the big crowds that they would bring, because they'll naturally then bring up more crowds and the atmosphere will be better. And Friday night's be electric at Turner's Cross again. There was 4,500, more than 4,500 at last night's game, and you'd be expecting that on a regular basis in the Premier Division, because you're playing better opposition. And as I said, look, if you get a bit of a run going and you're in the mix for European football, I think next season could be very exciting.
Who are you most looking forward to coming down to the Cross next season?
Commentator. I always like just playing the big Dublin teams. I mean, like, you've got your Shells and your Shamrocks and your Bows, and I suppose St. Pat's to a lesser degree. But like, when you have those clubs that have fans that travel in numbers to away games, I think, to be fair, Shamrock Rovers are the best for away support, and they fill up that block at the St. Dan's End, and there's just a nice atmosphere and a nice buzz. I think once you get those teams down, bring out the crowds, and it's going to be a huge test for Cork City. I mean, like, we saw them play Derry City in the Cup this year, and that was a good test to see where City were at in terms of where they're going to be in the Premier Division. They acquitted themselves very, very well. Mm-hmm. And I think if Cork City can play to that standard, but they're going to have to do that every game of next season. And it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be bumps in the road. But as I said, Dan, I have a feeling. I've been supporting this club for more years than I care to admit since I was a young boy. I just have a feeling that the club is headed in the right direction on and off the field. And I think next season could be excellent.
I suppose who we're going to get in is the huge thing, and it's ultimately going to come down all to that recruitment. Is there fears, I guess, the budget maybe has gone on Shawnee and Keats now, and we might lack something in defence?
That is a concern, all right, because you signed those guys up to, I assume they're not a Cork City for small money. They've signed up for long deals. They're going to be here for a long time, and it was a great bit of business by the club and by Dermot Usher to bring them in for that length of time. Players are going to move on. It's going to free up space as well. And like, Tim Clancy's no fool. He's been around this league. He did a great job at St. Pat's before he ultimately let go. He's done a great job here at Cork City. He's really adapted, I think, to life in Cork as well. He's really enjoyed it. He spoke in the interview that we did with him last night, I suppose, about the goldfish bowl kind of scenario that's it is being Cork City manager. And he said he never really experienced that anywhere else bar when he was in Edinburgh playing for Hibs. He says, look, the club is just it's involved in the fabric of the city. He says everywhere he goes, people want to talk to him about the club, and he said mostly about Shawnee McGuire, which is fair enough. Shawnee got the biggest roar actually last night when he was introduced for the trophy presentation. It's not a surprise. Kid's an absolute superstar, and he's amazing with the fans as well. You just see that guy signing autographs and just taking photographs and just being so pleasant with the fans afterwards. He's an absolute legend of a man, is Shawnee. But Yeah, I think there will be money there to spend for Cork. See, it depends on who Tim Clancy's going to bring in. We kind of asked him, are you going to bring in, who are you going to bring in? He was kind of, he was just kind of telling us off here. He's like, can't tell you that, lads. But you'd imagine discussions are well underway. I'd imagine signings are going to start happening over the next couple of weeks. That's what Cork's like to do, keep the interest up over the next couple of weeks and get more season tickets sold for next season. So I'd imagine we'll be seeing a few signings, but I'd imagine players are going to leave, and a couple of big names, I'd imagine, are going to leave, and it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, a few rumours around a few big names. Derek Crowley signing during the week, and they're teasing the new Rebel Army clothing training kit as well. I'm going to put this one to you now, though. Cathal O'Sullivan, where does he rank in terms of players you've seen at the cross down the years?
Yeah, he's massively exciting, Dan, isn't he? He's like... Like, I remember when I was a kid, whenever Ollie Cathal got on the ball, there was a buzz of just anticipation and excitement. You never knew what Ollie was going to do next. And every time he got on the ball, you're like, oh, Ollie's on the ball, Ollie's on the ball. Brilliant. Patsy Flynn was similar. Patsy was just class on the ball. Roy O'Donovan was similar in that 2005 team, which is that excitement, that electricity. It's just that the rawness, that exuberance of youth as well, Dan. Like, Cathal... just, he doesn't care. 17 years of age, he looked like he's playing League of Ireland football his entire life. It's going to be a big step up from next season in the Premier Division. There'll be bigger, stronger defenders. Going to be keeping an eye on him a lot more closely, a lot more experienced guys are going to be paying a lot of close attention to him. And it's going to be about how he adapts. I think he's going to adapt very, very well. He's going to go on and have an excellent career wherever he ends up. And I think in years to come, we're going to say, we saw this guy play at Turner's Cross when he was 7 years of age, banging in goals for fun, pulling in off the right-hand side and guiding them into the net with his left boot like he did last night. He is an absolutely top-notch talent. And you know, Dan, yourself, when you've watched enough football, you know when you see a good talent. And Cathal's that, isn't he?
100%. It's going to be interesting to see now how players will approach him next season, because he's going to have to deal with like a physical players like sort of Paddy Barrett, the Chills now looming down on him. They're not going to take it easy on him, so it's going to be interesting to see how he adapts to that.
Yeah, he'll be kicked up and down the park, and it's just how he adapts to that. You've seen it, like he'll be fouled and he won't even react to the foul. Even if he's been hurt, he'll just roll up, get up and move on and just say, look, yeah, that's your best, good luck, go on, kid. But look, he's an exceptional talent, and the club have done a very good job of managing him, and like, and imagine the expectations around him, because I can imagine everyone is talking to him going, oh, he must be going cross channel, he must be going cross channel, he must be going cross channel. Another year in the Premier Division with Cork City, and I think he'll be well set, because look, Dan, you know, scouts have been looking at him. Like, you could not look at him. Scouts up and down Ireland, and like scouts from across the UK have been looking at him, and he is going to move. It's a question of when, not if. But we might as well enjoy him while we have him, and I think he's going to develop into a top match player next season.
Any of the other young guns you see coming through next season? Tim kind of hinted that we might be seeing a few more of them as well next year.
Yeah, I think Matty Kiernan is going to be an excellent player. Like, Tim has like spoken so highly of him, and the fact that the club have given him a new contract this season before the end of the season shows how highly they rate him. He looks like he's going to be an excellent player. Like, the way he gets forward, he looks very composed in the ball, and we didn't see a huge amount of him, but I think he's going to be an excellent player. Excuse me, for next season. I think, like Cork, I suppose they have an excellent academy, and the work that Liam Kearney has done and the work that Colin Healy did before Liam as well, it's now starting to bear fruit, and some excellent players are coming through, and they're exciting players, and you just want to get down and you know, if there's a spine of good Cork young lads, I think no matter how the team is doing, the Cork public will support them. And every successful Cork City team has had that strong spine of local talent, and I think that's what the club are certainly developing and pushing, and it'll be fantastic to see those young players and how they progress in the Premier Division, because I don't think it's going to overawe them. They've come through an excellent academy, they've had a nice apprenticeship now in the First Division, and I think they're ready to take the Premier Division by storm next year.
You've been involved in Cork sport and Cork City a long time. How much did you enjoy Dundalk's relegation last night?
No, that's just mean. That's just mean. What I did thoroughly enjoy, right? I'm not going to lie, I'm a Cork City fan. I took a certain amount of pleasure in Dundalk going down. I hate the situation that they're in. Cork City fans have gone through a similar situation not so distant past. And it's not like you'd feel for the Dundalk supporters, the genuine Dundalk supporters, of which I know quite a few, and I've been on to them, and it's horrible for them to see their club reduced to this, and I hope that they can bounce back, because look, the Cork City Dundalk rivalry, well, the John Caulfield and Stephen Kenny rivalry, I think it was for a while, it was excellent, and look, Dundalk were the standard bearers of Irish football for quite a long time, and for to see them relegated, it is quite sad from a League of Ireland perspective, from a Cork City fans perspective. I was like, and the League of Ireland posted up an image last night of the confirmed of Seanan Maguire celebrating and Dundalk being relegated, which a few people said to me hanging in the Louvre. But it's not nice to see Dundalk fall this far. I hope that they can come back from it, but look, the soundings of what is going on up there, it's not great. And the bust up that was happening last night while Rory Higgins was being interviewed, again, not great. And my fear would be that they might even be in the first division next season.
Focus back on us. Give us, from all your time in the commentary booth, from all your time watching the games, give us your highlight from the year.
The highlight of the year, look, it has to be Malik Dykstra's going up in Belfield to secure the title. It was a long time coming. It was screwed to get over the line, and that was probably my highlight. That was a great night afterwards as well. I was on the pitch celebrating and just getting interviews with lads, and there was a great buzz around that. But just again, the highlight was just seeing the young players develop, seeing Carlos Sullivan come through, the likes of John O'Donovan get some good game time when he was fit, the likes of Matty Kieran, and seeing him and the cameos that he's had. But it's just some of the performances. I mean, like, we haven't even mentioned like Charlie Lyons or Keane Coleman, who were just so solid all the way through the season. That team was built in defence, and Charlie Lyons and Keane Coleman were at the heart of that. Charlie Lyons is a Rolls Royce of a player. He got man of the match last night from Philip Long. I jokingly said to Philip Long, Cork City scored 6 goals, which defender are you going to give man of the match to? Ha 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 ha. And he went and gave it to Charlie Lyons. And the amount of people that gave us abuse last night. Greg Bulger came up to us last night. He's like, lads, I thought I had that in the bag after 16 minutes. Charlie Ryan said, you gave it to me, lads. I would have given it to Carlos Sullivan last night for those 2 goals, or Greg Bulger, but look, I don't pick the man of the match. Myself and Phil nearly had a falling out live on air last night over the man of the match.
How does Philip normally come to the conclusion of the man of the match?
It's just whatever defender catches his eye. It's the defender's union with Phil, like, you know, he's a stalwart defender of the club. He's a Cork City legend. And to be fair, Charlie Ryan's had a good game, like, but you win 6-0. He got to give it to one of the forwards, and especially the forwards who scored the goal. So, it is what it is. But even Charlie Lyons was a bit surprised by that last night.
Who's been the player of the year for you then?
Bulger, Lyons, or O'Sullivan. And you could throw a blanket over those three players.
I'd say you're sneaking Wade in there as well.
Yeah, I think Wade's been a virtual spectator for a lot of the games, though. Do you know what I mean? Because the defensive function has been so good. So, I think it's either Bulger, Lyons, or Sullivan for me. I can't really pick between them. I probably maybe slightly favour Bulger because I think he's been instrumental in that team. But yeah, those three players are absolutely fantastic.
We'll end it here then. How excited do you think City fans should be for next season?
Very, very. Shawnee and Rory up top, Carlos Sullivan pulling in from the wing and setting those boys up. It's going to be massively exciting. And get out and support Cork City next season. If you've never been to a game, now's a great time to get behind the lads and start going to games when the season kicks off next spring.
Well, I'm sure Turner's Cross will be rocking that first game next season. Rory O'Hagan, thanks so much for joining us.
Cheers, buddy.
And here's Rory speaking to Cork City gaffer Tim Clancy after the game.
Tim, that's some way to round off your season, 6 goals, and really put an exclamation point in a tremendous year for you.
Yeah, listen, the last few weeks, obviously, the results weren't as in tune with the rest of the season, but Meagher's going to be a bumper crowd here, and we wanted to finish the season off really strong, and listen, I thought the way we started the game was excellent, and we got a few good goals in the first half, and the message at half time was we're playing into the shed end where they'd make it nice for us all season, and we want to try and give them a few goals as well. And listen, it's topped off with they get a penalty, and Brad saves a penalty as well.
That's so, the night, wasn't
I think
it?
So yeah, it's one of them ones that everything seemed to go for us. They hit the bar a few times, and it was just meant for us to keep a clean sheet tonight and get a good win and sign off. And listen, it was a difficult season. We spoke about all year that the club doesn't want to be in the first division. I'm hoping that this is the last time the club ever win the first division title. and we've got to try and build on this now and put blocks in place to establish ourselves back in the Premier Division and get this club back to the top of Irish football where it deserves to be.
The strike forces in place for next season, they certainly excel tonight.
Again, listen, they're getting sharper. I think Keith came in off not playing a lot of games and probably wasn't sharp, and Shawnee didn't have a pre-season, so they're only going to get better. They'll have their time off now and we'll hit the ground running in January and get them as fit as can be, and we'll add some more quality that is needed in the Premier Division. And I think we have the bones of a very good side, and if we can get the right players in, I think we'll be okay next year.
Carl Sullivan, we've spoken about him all season, but again, so just showing why we've been speaking about him all season.
Yeah, again, listen, it's nothing amazes me now with Carl at this stage. He's, I had to take him off, not getting a hat trick. Don't want anyone taking him in January. So no, he's been brilliant. He has that ability. He's a similar goal. He scores all the time. It's cutting in his left foot and scoring, and it's hard to stop that. He's a lot of quality, but I think Malik showed his ability as well on the other side, and I think that we've got a chance next year if we can keep the best players that we have and add quality to it.
I'm not even sure if Cahill got a hat-trick he'd be given man of the match by Philip Long.
No, I don't think so. I think Charlie had four headers there and a couple of slide tackles, so that warrants the man of the match for Philip.
As you say, just to do it in front of this crowd as well, it's a special occasion, it's a special night to get the win, but the crowd tonight again fantastic, as they have been all season.
They have been, and listen, we started the season with a massive crowd against Kerry and a miserable night, and we finished it on a really strong note as well with six goals and a good performance as well. You had probably a micro of the whole season there with some of the experienced players doing really well. We kept a clean sheet and a bit of magic as well from some of the younger players. So yeah, it's a great way to finish, and even to have the celebrations at the end there. I won the first division with Drogheda 4 years ago during COVID, and there was no crowds, there was no family there or anything, so you have to try and sort of take that stuff in. We've had a few pictures in there, and players could go the rest of their career now. It's the worrying thing when you look at the likes of Matty Kiernan and Cahill and Healers and some of the other young lads, Josh Patrick, to think that this is what happens every year in football. It doesn't. So they've got to enjoy these moments, and they'll enjoy the off-season, but planning has already begun for next year.
On a personal level for you, Tim, what does this mean?
Listen, obviously I left Pats 18 months ago. I was without a job, and when I got the phone call to come down here and manage this club, it wasn't even a hesitation. The opportunity to manage what I see is no club in this country is bigger than Cork City, and it's an absolute honour for me to manage this club, and for as long as I'm here, whether we're successful or not, it won't be for the lack of trying or commitment or anything like that. So I think with a few additions in the off season, we can get this place rocking again next year, and we're looking forward to all the big boys coming to town.
Has anything else surprised you this year? Considering you knew a lot of club doing beforehand, but since you've come in, anything surprised you?
I just, probably the reach the club has. It's the only time I've had the sort of, not the recognition, but you get noticed a lot. Everybody just talks about the club. They ask about Shawnee Maguire mostly, but all season it's about Shawnee, and you just see that everybody in garages, if you're stepping off a petrol, if you're walking through the town, if you're having a coffee, it's the number one topic. The only place I had that previously as a player was probably Edinburgh when I was at Hibs, and again it's a big city with two teams there, and this one's, I know Cove is just down the road, but it's a one club city. So I just think it's a massive, massive club, and I think I know Rory Higgins spoke about the Dublin bias media, and I know there's a lot of clubs centralised in Dublin, but I think when we're in the Premier Division, I think we should be getting a lot more exposure, and when you have a player like Cahill O'Sullivan, who's an unbelievable talent, I think you probably ask most of the media in the country what he looks like, wouldn't be able to tell you. So that's what we're hoping to change next season. We want to try and get the right players in to give young players like Cahill a chance to excel at the top level in this country.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
All right, welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times. Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. From football earlier to rugby now, of course, at the moment, Munster are playing the DHL Stormers in South Africa. The latest there is Munster 12 points to the Stormers 21, and that's with 67 minutes gone on the clock. Now, earlier in the week, with thanks to Sports Show and Alpro, I got the opportunity to speak to Cork's own Simon Zeebo, certainly a man no stranger to that Munster dressing room, having retired at the end of last season. Enjoy. Simon Zeebo, how's retirement treating you anyway, first of all?
So far so good, my man. Enjoying it, enjoying the extra family time and slowly integrating into the working life, but it's good.
What are you doing to keep yourself busy in that working life?
In the working life, I'm working on a whiskey at the moment. We have a whiskey launching in March next year, which is very exciting. Still doing some media side of things with TV, and now that the season's heating up, we'll be doing more of that. And I'm looking to open a cafe in the new year with my business partner in the whiskey, so that'll be another cool project, hopefully, if it all comes off.
Where's the cafe going to be?
I think down in the real capital, down in Cork.
Have you location picked?
Not yet, but yeah, coming soon.
Any thoughts on a name?
Cafe Z is a winner, I think. I don't know if it'll get the backing, but Cafe Z seems good to me, yeah.
The whiskey, how did that whole thing come about?
Well, my dad was massively into his whiskey when I was young. I would have been around it a lot, you know. He had a big collection. He would have been on Nationwide and everything. And the dream came about. Me and my now business partner, Ernest, I would have known throughout the years, and I've always thought about doing something together, and whiskey was a love. I leaned on his knowledge a bit and his experience, and we've come up with a really cool and exciting brand and project now to be a part of, so super, super exciting. Yep.
When's that being released? Is it going worldwide?
Not yet worldwide, but many countries will go to Ireland, obviously, the UK, Africa, America, and in time potentially Australia and New Zealand. It'll launch in March. We'll be very excited about it.
There won't be much sales in Australia or New Zealand, I'd say. South Africa as well, probably.
Yeah, I know. There's a bit of rivalry still there, but nah, we'll do well.
Do you miss being involved with Munster at all? Is going back in as a coach in Munster something you're interested in?
Well, the question's not really been put to me. Raj asked me about coaching, but the grow wasn't really there. Mike Prendergast also asked me if I had any interest, but I don't think so. It's too time-consuming at the moment. I am just enjoying having the freedom back. You know, my schedule for the last 15 years, the weekends have been, you know, it's a crucial part. And, I'm enjoying having the schedule back. So coaching as of now is no, not for me.
Well, what were you going to go into La Rochelle as?
No, it wasn't to go. He just asked me as a general question. Yeah, a general question, not to come.
I thought it was a hint.
I'd be over to La Rochelle as crack coach. Yeah, just in charge of the fun.
Munster Leinster at the weekend, what's your initial thoughts coming out of that one?
Yeah, look, it's a tough game. It's always tough going up to Leinster. I thought the Munster lads put in a hell of a shift. I thought the effort was through the roof. They never gave up. They were up against it. The officiating wasn't, I didn't think, great. I think the first 20 minutes there was a lot of calls went in that you don't need another reason to be on the back foot up there. And they certainly didn't help the cause. And then obviously injuries came about and HIAs and the scrum and this and that. So, look, it was a tough result. It's never nice losing to Leinster, but be confident that a few more bodies will come back on feet, and there's a Christmas fixture on the line, and I think that will be a lot better for Munster.
I know Lachman's eye injury might beg to differ, but you think there was a lack of bite in the game from a Munster perspective, especially around the whole stem and stuff? You thought that might have really added to it, but it just never really happened.
Who's going to go after him?
Great kid.
Yeah. He tried, to be fair. No better boy. No, I wasn't at the game. I was in studio. I would have liked to have felt the atmosphere and seen it, but you don't want to be getting into, you know, or losing focus on these things. You know, RG is obviously a huge player for them now, and we saw how good he is with Munster at tail end of his time there, and obviously he started really well at Leinster, but those kind of games within the games take care of themselves. Munster would have been better off, and as they were, just focusing on performing best they can, but that bite and atmosphere will always be there in those fixtures, so you don't need to worry too much about that.
Is this the year Leinster finally get over the line?
I don't think so. No.
the clip.
I don't know. I'm trying to be trying to not stay on the fence, but they start very hot, don't they? When all their bodies are fresh and stuff, but the rigors of a long season and trying to compete in both fronts can take its toll. Like we've seen, when was the last time they won? 2018 or 17 or something?
Been in there.
Yeah, like they've been favourites probably in both competitions every single year, and they've nothing to show for it since then. So to say now all of a sudden that they're going to win is a bit, I don't think realistic. Well, not that it's not realistic, it's very realistic, but I still see Toulouse's, La Rochelle's and Munster's too much.
That's the stuff. Would you ever go back to Munster, even just have you knocking around the gaff, like it's a bit like an INS officer or something like that?
Yeah, well, I'm just out the gaff now, so they don't need to pull me back in yet. I go as crack manager, just take care of the lads, having fun, and make sure the barista skills are up to a good level.
Speaking to Kelvin, I think a week or two ago, he was on about your DJ Dicks inside in Munster facility. Can you talk about that one?
That was good end of season. Yeah, I was getting a nice send off from some of the lads. They brought in, Shane Daly brought in some decks for me, and we had a few gym sessions of DJ Zeebo on the decks. Yeah, it was good crack. Not much weights were done, but the coaches were delighted to see the end of DJ Zeebo. But no, it was good crack. Yeah, the boys enjoyed it, and it was a nice sign off at the end of the season.
Absolutely, this Irish team going forward. We have the All Blacks now coming in, Jesus, 2 or 3 weeks. What way do you see that one going? I mean, the blood is getting bad now between those two sides.
Thanks to Johnny, isn't it? Johnny riling up everybody. But yeah, it is. It's a great rivalry now, isn't it? Since the World Cup and even before that with the summer tour or series that they had there a couple of years ago. I think Ireland have all the tools to get the job done. I think this All Blacks team is very good, but not, on any given day Ireland would be favourites. I think we'd probably edge them in squad depth and this and that. So I know it's in between World Cups, but it's a very important series and a huge game, lot of spice and rivalry behind it now. Looking forward to see how Rico Ioane gets on.
With the crowd, like 80,000 people. Yeah, do you think, I guess, like you're just obviously recently retired, have you heard anything coming from the camps about, you know, maybe not hatred but a dislike for one another?
With the All Blacks? Not too much. No, I haven't heard too much about the... I think it's pretty evident that on the field, in terms of performance and ability, and it's always neck and neck, toe to toe now, and the rivalry kind of grew on its own without anything specific happening, and that's great. It's healthy competition, and it'll make for an incredible atmosphere, especially in Dublin now. I can't wait for it.
Do you think it's good for the sport of rugby, like that it's a real proper rivalry now?
Yeah, it's unreal. Yeah, and you have South Africa, you could throw in there. Ireland have a lot of rivals nowadays. Ireland or England, South Africa, New Zealand, Scotland as well. That's good. It's great for the game. It builds supporter interest, and makes for some nice one-on-one battles out there.
Who was the biggest rival for you when you were playing?
When I was playing, rival. Man to mark me, or
we go man to mark and then internet and then side.
Okay. Rival. I always enjoyed playing against Israel Dagg early on in my career. I thought he was incredible. There wasn't a specific rival. When we were playing Champions Cup at Munster early on, we played against Saracens quite a lot. Owen Farrell and David Strettles and these guys, Alex Goods, they were rivals, but you know, nothing ever, not bad willed, I suppose, but yeah, just good, healthy competition.
What did you think of Dagg's comments? I mean, he was just saying, you don't win between World Cups. To be fair, he's kind of right at the same time, and what do Ireland need to do now to break that hoodoo with the quarterfinal?
He's not kind of right. He is right. It's unfortunate that he's right, but we'll be able to change that, I'm sure, next World Cup. It's just part of the rivalry, isn't it? Israel would have played against Johnny quite a lot and knows what Ireland are about, but Yeah, I think he was a bit off in that. I'd bet Johnny all day.
Yeah, do you think the, maybe some of the All Blacks lads went a bit far? Because, you know, Sexton's retired. He can have no more say in it. And it's just over now.
Yeah, yeah. What did he say again? What did he say?
Who?
Was it Johan? He said, I can't remember what he said. I love Johnny, so me and Johnny get on well. I know how much of a competitor he is and how much he wants to win. Nothing ever crosses the line with him, though. So it's funny. I can see why people might not like him, but if he's on your team, he's one of the best teammates you can have.
The last one here, who are you tipping to take the Irish 10 jersey? We have Frawley and we have Crowley. I mean, it's going to be some battle over the next few years.
Yeah, but as of now, it's Jack Crowley's for sure. Even at the weekend again, I thought he played really well when he was up against it. His team were up against it away from home, and he stood up. His distribution was really good. He was attacking the line, carrying the ball really well. He's still the man in the hot seat, I think. But Kieran Frawley, Sam Prendergast, there's a lot of other good talent there as well. But number one's number one, and that's Jack.
Perfect stuff. Legend, what a legend. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
Now it's GA, and earlier today I got to speak to Joe McCarthy about the new Gaelic football rules being implemented on a trial basis in Croker this weekend, as well as all the happenings in the LGFA. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Joe McCarthy. Now, in Gaelic football circles at the moment, the real big talking point is, of course, the new rules that came into place. We saw for the first time last night up in Croke Park, and for the match is going to be taking place again there tonight with the Railway Cup. Joe, on initial viewing, what are your thoughts on these new rules, and do you think they're going to be a good idea for Gaelic games?
It was a lot to take in on one evening. A whole generation of football fans looking at what the next generation of footballers might be involved in. But look, I'm trying to stay positive about the whole thing as much as I can. I think there was a lot of good and maybe not so good. I suppose the thing is with these matches over the weekend, it's a good way for supporters and people to get an idea of what's coming down the line. So I appreciate that. But it's very hard to gauge, Dan, because these are not competitive games, whichever way you want to put it. They're not being played at championship intensity, so it's really hard to know what might actually work when it comes to championship, what might not. But look, from a positive point of view, I think encouraging scoring from further out, I think, is a good move. I think it's a positive one and might encourage players to go for scores from further distance out rather than packing their defences. The idea of keeping three players in the other half, I like, but patrolling it, I'm not so sure about. And look, the goalkeepers having to kick beyond the 40 metre line, I think that's a very positive thing as well. It cuts out the short kickouts and it encourages, I suppose, you know, quick kick passing, the solo on if you get fouled as well. I like that idea that players can just get on with the game. So I think at the top end, Dan, of inter-county football, I think these changes will definitely benefit the game, and that the fittest of the fit at the top end, the elite counties that are challenging for titles every year, I think they'll just adapt quickly to them. My concern with all of this is, how does this work in North Cork on a Sunday afternoon with a referee who's got enough to be handling with all the extra things that we're asking for now? How do you judge somebody being inside and outside the kicking arc? There's things like that which I don't know if they've been fully thought out. They've been fully thought out with a view to the top end and elite and the inter-county section, but at club level, I'd have concerns, all right, that a lot of changes that they're talking about bringing in might not add to the game as much as they want.
Yeah, do you think a lot of players will be found out with the 40-yard kicking line? It seemed like a lot of players actually can't or are incapable of kicking from outside that range.
I suppose, look, for the players that can, yeah, they're more than happy to take it on. And if it's worth 2 points, I suppose there's that extra bonus. I like the fact as well that a goal is worth extra. I think that's important. It's encouraging to encourage teams to go for it. I suppose the idea behind all these things, whether you agree with them or not, Dan, is to try and make the game faster and more appealing to the eye. Because let's face it, over the last couple of years, it's become ultra-defensive and the hurling championship blew it away this year. I don't think anybody could argue with that. But for the really good players, yeah, you want to get the ball to your shooters and kick from distance. That's not very different from the way it is now. But I suppose from that 40-metre mark, I just see managers coming up basically saying, right, three boys, you stay up in one half and we'll get everybody else behind the ball and we line up on the 40. So it's hard to know how effective that long-range shooting and the idea of it, I appreciate. But the execution of it in a National League game, you know, if you're down a couple of points, do you really try from that distance and hope that you get it? Or do you just revert to the way you've always done it, work the ball in as close as you can and just take the 1 point? It'll be interesting to see how many of the rules are retained for the National League, because in the National League, when it's competitive, then we'll see these things teased out. But at the moment, it's very hard to say. But look, any rule that encourages more positive football. And one thing I would say I did enjoy last night, a lot more kick passing, Dan. A lot more kick passing. And that's something to be, something to hold on to and to look forward to.
I suppose we won't know how well the rules are working out until players are really trying to start to break them in a competitive environment. It's fine when it's uncompetitive, Ger.
Yeah, this is it. I appreciate the opportunity for. I think it's a really good idea for Jim Gavin and the crew to say, look, let's put these into the Railway Cup. Let's get the provinces out. Let's show people exactly what we're talking about. And I think supporters would definitely, and referees too, would have a better appreciation of it. But look, if you're asking me, Dan, I think they're trying to change a lot of things too soon and too quickly. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of knee-jerk reactions here that are unnecessary. My own thoughts on it when I heard that, when I was asked what rule changes would I bring in, the first thing I would have done is reduce the game down to 13 a side and left a lot of the rules alone, because by making it 13 a side, and there's a lot of clubs where I come from can't field teams as it is, 13 a side opens up the pitch completely. You don't have to go changing points and goals and flags and kick forwards and play ons. There's more space on the pitch, no matter what way you go, even if you go ultra defensive, with 13 a side there's a lot more room. And look, I suppose there's positives too, and that the Hooter, something that ladies football, and I've seen a lot of, because I cover ladies football for so many years, the Hooter I think is a huge benefit as well, counting down the clock and everybody knowing when the match is over. It might sound like a small thing, but it's certainly a big improvement and something I think they can build on as well. So look, it's good to see these rules in action. I have my doubts a lot of them will get through, but we won't really know, as you said, until the National League kicks off.
Do you think the referees, Mike, should be something that's here to stay regardless of what happens on the pitch?
I do, because whatever we're hearing the referee is saying, hearing what's being said to the referee is even more entertaining. And I think the idea as well that you bring the ball forward now for descent, 50 metres, and the defender has to hand the ball to the player, I think that's a good move. But from referees, I mean, that's not going to be the case in club matches, I doubt. But from inter-county, certainly from rugby league, I've seen it in rugby league, I've seen rugby union, it's so much easier to understand what's going on when you can hear the referee's opinion on it. So, yeah, all for that.
Do you think these rules will be ushered in before the National League, or at least one or two of them anyway?
One or two, I think it's realistic to say one or two, yeah, but not all. No, not all. I think the ones that make sense and that can be implemented straight away are the not allowing you to kick, give it back to the keeper, the keeper having to kick from over 40 metres. And also, I think the fact the 40 metre after scoring, I like that. I just think the simpler things, yes, but the other things maybe that are a bit more complicated and haven't been as well received, I don't see them coming in, no. But even two or three heading into the National League that would help speed up the game, the things like solo and move forward and move on, yeah, I'm all for those.
I can hear the unmistakable sound of a match behind you in the background there. Where are you for us today, Ger?
Today I am at the Cork LGFA Junior A County Final in Clidove, Dan, between Donnies from West Cork and East Cork's Middleton. Promises to be a cracker. We were here last week for an absolute belter between O'Donovan Rossa and Neva Vaughan that went down to the final kick, and that was won by O'Donovan Rossa to become intermediate champions. Donnies are looking to get rid of having lost their last couple of finals they've been in, they're looking to finally get out of junior and get up to intermediate, as are Middleton. And just before you came across to me, the Junior E County Final concluded, and even more excitement, a 1-point win for Naya Finbarra. Congratulations to them. They're out of Junior E and up to Junior D, and they've been looking to do that for many, many years. So this should be an absolute cracker today. Two teams very evenly matched. The winners become an intermediate club for 2025, and they also progress to the Munster Championship this year. There's a Junior A Munster Championship, so lots to play for, and a big crowd coming in. We'll have all the audio for you for that from this game on the big revenge.
Brilliant stuff, Ger. Do appreciate it. And tomorrow there's non-stop yeah. action, I suppose, as a triple header.
I'll be in MTU for the Senior A Ladies Final and the Senior B Ladies Final. We'll be covering both of those games. We'll also have the results from the Junior C game. But the Senior B is an all-West Cork affair between Kinsale and Clonakilty. And in what Senior B, all the senior clubs, which I think is a very good idea too, something the Men's Championship could look into. Any teams knocked out, any teams that don't make the knockout stages of the Ladies Senior A Championship, Dan, playoff for a Senior B title. And there's also a Munster Senior B Championship to qualify for as well. So lots to play for tomorrow in Cork MTU between Clonic and Kinsale, two sides that know each other very well and are desperate to get some silverware. But the big one at 4 o'clock mm-hmm. is the Senior A final between Ahada and Aroge. No Mourne Abbey in a ladies county final for the first time in 13 years. Unbelievable, with two very, very talented teams packed with inter-county talent. Lots to look forward to tomorrow, and lots of drama too.
Yeah, we'll play with the interviews after this conversation. You spoke to Roisin Phelan and Jennifer O'Gorman. What, from a general sense, sure, what did you get from both of those players?
Well, both of them are very, very anxious for their clubs to win it, without saying. But Roisin Phelan is a former Cork senior, played in Dublin for years. She's back with Ahada. She'll be playing alongside the likes of Hannah Looney, Amy O'Connor, players that our listeners will know from their Cork Camogie exploits. We also have, on the Air Oak side, we have Orla Cahalan and Maeve Cahalan, the Cahalan sisters that won a senior Camogie title last week with Irish. They're playing for Air Oak. That team is packed with talent as well. Had a fantastic semi-final win over St. Val's. This is really, really too close to call. Both captains and both sets of supporters, both communities as well. Great to see the, on social media, the bunting and everything, getting behind their clubs. It's going to be an absolute cracker. I have no idea how it's going to end. Don't ask me. But not having Mourne Abbey in the final is weird, to put it mildly. But these two teams have been knocking on the door for the last couple of years. Air Oak have lost the last three county finals to Mourne Abbey. Ahada have lost the last three county semi-finals, so both teams very, very hungry, desperate for success, and I just know it's going to be an absolute cracker, and we're expecting a huge crowd in MTU Cork for those three games tomorrow.
Are you expecting the last three final losses to affect Air Oak at all?
No, I think they've got too much inter-county experience throughout that team, and they've got a really good solid sprinkling of young players that have come through over the last couple of years. They've also got Joe Carroll in charge of him, who's been there, done that at inter-county level, at minor inter-county level, and won many, many things with Cork. So I don't think, if anything, I think it's going to spur them on. What will be interesting is how the matchups go. Who's going to pick up Hannah Looney? Who's going to pick up Emma Farmer? Who's going to pick up Amy O'Connor for Ahada? Who's Roisin Phelan going to mark? Will she pick up Orla Cahalan? So many big, big matchups to come. But Air Oak are used to these big days. Ahada, not so much. But this is an Ahada team, Dan. And not so long ago, only as far as back as 2017, won a Junior A All-Ireland title. So they've got plenty of experience too. So look, it's going to be an absolute cracker. Can't wait.
Well, Jordan, enjoy the game today and enjoy the games tomorrow. You must get no time in that house of yours at all.
I don't have a house, Dan. No, I do have a house. I'm a very understanding wife, Uda. So I owe her everything. Thanks, Willard.
All the best, Jordan. Thanks a mil.
Good luck.
Cheers. Now, tomorrow, Sunday, October 20th in Cork, MTU at 4. The highlight of a triple header of county finals, as we were just talking about, sees runners-up for the past 3 years, Air Oak taking on Ahada. Joe McCarthy caught up with Ahada captain and former Cork senior Roisin Phelan, as well as Air Oak co-captain Jennifer O'Gorman, ahead of the big showdown. We'll hear first from Roisin.
Now on the big red bench, we are thrilled to be joined by former Cork All-Ireland All-Star and fantastic all-round footballer and captain of Ahada, ahead of Sunday's Cork LGFA Senior A County Final between Ahada and Air Oak. We're joined on the line by Roisin Phelan. Roisin, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Hi, very good. Now yourself?
I'm flying it. And so are Ahada. Having lost three county finals in recent years, Ahada are back and are in a Senior A county final. A fantastic achievement for you, first of all. Can you tell me just, I suppose, is the feeling as the captain relief for the panel that you've reached the final, or are you just fully focused on taking it one game at a time and just one more game now?
Yeah, so I guess there was a bit of nervousness around the last match that we'd lost three semis in the last couple of years, and it had been something that we hadn't done before and the club hadn't done before in the history, men or ladies, to get to a Senior A final. So definitely a good bit of relief having got over the line against Glenmire after a touch and go match.
Yeah, touch and go, to put it mildly. You came up with a very, very important point to keep that game going. You won it by a point in the end, but in terms of, you won it in the end, but in terms of tests heading into a final, there's not much tougher test you can get than playing a team like Glenmire. Intermediate County Champions just recently, been to an All-Ireland final as well. Is that a good thing from the team's point of view, that you got such a test heading into what's going to be an even tougher game?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, like Glenmire are a great team, and it's a testament to them. They were able to compete at that level in their first year up. It takes a lot of teams a couple of years to reach that level, so fair play to them and their management team. But that experience and the attitude and the stubbornness that we showed, I'm hoping that'll shine through again on Sunday.
What's different this year, Roisin, or is anything different? Because Eric Smith is still your manager. It's more or less the same backroom team, a lot of the same players. Or have the younger players that have been coming through, have they finally, have they stood up, as the cliche is? But do you notice anything different in this particular season, or have you just been playing to the same levels and you finally got the breakthrough now?
Yeah, look, this team's been on a bit of a journey over the last kind of 7-8 years. You know, the core of the team has remained pretty stable there since 2016-2017. We've got some excellent new additions. Amelia Cooper, Maisie McRae, Brianna Smith, they're all Cork Miners, excellent players. Ava Collin plays with the under-16 Cork team as well. So they're all new additions that have come in over the last year or two, and they've definitely brought a new impetus to it. But like, this team has been together quite a while, and we've won Junior All-Ireland, we won Intermediate, and it just took us a couple of years when we got up Senior to make that level. And the last day was a big moment for the club, trying to get over that line and get into the final for the first time. But from a setup perspective, like, the guys have created a great setup there, and like, the support in the club has been excellent, and I think it's just been doing the same thing and just getting a little bit more lucky on the day, you know.
Roisin, we've spoken plenty of times down through the years. I know what it meant for you to put on that Cork jersey. I know how successful a career you have had. You're one of the best footballers ever to come out of the county. But can you even begin to articulate what winning a Senior A county title would mean for yourself and for Ada?
Yeah, I guess these are girls that you've played with and have seen you at your best. You've seen them at your worst. We've helped each other through some pretty tough times in our personal lives and in football. And it would be great to bring that home for people's generations gone and the generations to come, and just to bring a bit of life and soul to the parish.
A life and soul to the parish. Well, you've done that, and how this year and down through the years. On Sunday, a Cork MTU at 4 o'clock, part of a triple header with the Cork LGFA Senior A County Football Championship. New champions will be crowned no matter what the result, but as Ada take on Aeroge, we wish you and Ada all the very best, Roisin Phelan, and thank you very, very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
No problem. Thanks for that. Bye.
And here's your speaking to Aeroge co-captain, Jennifer O'Gorman.
Now, on the Big Red Bench, we're delighted to be joined by Jennifer O'Gorman, one of the co-captains, along with Aoife Rogers, of the Aeroge Senior Ladies Football Team, who enter their fourth consecutive Senior A County Final this Sunday at MTU with a 4 o'clock throw-in against Ada. The previous three finals we're going to very briefly talk about, Jennifer, ended in defeat. Will it be fourth time lucky? We're about to find out. Jennifer, you're very, very welcome to the Big Red Bench. How are you?
Hi, dear. How are you? All good.
All good. I want to get that statistic out of the way, because I'd say you're sick of hearing about it, but you are one of the most consistent clubs in the county over the last number of years. Only Moornabbey have gotten the better of you in those county finals. You're heading into a fourth consecutive final. Has it been spoken about much, or is it just, this is brand new year, brand new season, brand new final, let's just focus on that? Or how much of the past is kind of weighing on the players' shoulders, if any?
I suppose I don't think it's something that's really focused on, or, you know, that's zoned in on, but obviously it's there in the back of our minds, especially the girls that would have played in the last three county finals. But I think if anything, like, each year we've grown in strength and numbers and, you know, different girls coming and going. So each year it's been a different perspective, and I suppose just those three losses, if anything, it just builds up resilience. And if you get girls back on the pitch and training again, I think that kind of says it all. Each year we're coming back each time.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, not being smart to Moornabbey, but not having Moornabbey involved in the final has certainly raised a lot of interest in outside, perhaps, of Cork LGFA, because it's two new teams. It's going to be a new name on the trophy. You've been there for the last 3 years. You're one of the most consistent teams. But your supporters, you got fantastic support in that semi-final win over St. Val's, and you needed it, I would say to you, because there were some tough moments in that, but the supporters helped you through. You'd be hoping that they'll do that again for you at Cork MTU this Sunday.
You know, the community in Aeroge have been very good. They've done everything they can, not just this year, but every year, to really show their support, young and old. And, you know, even in the clubhouse there, and they're all up putting the bunting and flags up now. And, you know, I absolutely have no doubt that they'll all be there on Sunday and screaming and shouting, and good chance from them.
Indeed. Obviously, winning it would be fantastic. It would be fantastic to put the previous years behind you and just, you know, get your hands on the Senior A trophy. But from a footballing point of view, making Aeroge the number one team in the county and looking ahead to Munster, the benefit of that, I suppose, is just as important as eradicating the last 3 years, Jennifer.
And I suppose I would always see it as a mindset that it's not forgetting about the last 3 years or trying to park them. You know, I think this is trying to start something or start a history in Aeroge, which I'm probably on the older side of the team now, but I absolutely believe that they can drive on, and the absolute talent coming up along the lines is frightening, and it's, you know, it's something really positive to look forward to.
It certainly is to look forward to, as is this Sunday at Cork MT with a 4 o'clock throw in the Cork LGFA Senior A County Final between Ada and Air Oak. Jennifer, thanks very much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench, and the very best of luck to you.
Thanks, Milger.
Yeah, the very best of luck to them. Brilliant stuff. Best of luck to them tomorrow. MTU, 4 o'clock tomorrow. It finished up in South Africa. Stormers, 34 points to Munsters, 19. Disappointing outing for them there, but they can hopefully turn it around against the Bulls. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Huge thanks to all of our contributors. Dan Casey signing off, but Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.